Hello everyone, the Rowdy Buddhist here. I hope you're doing well. Today I want to focus on, again, another concept, another idea, another way of looking at Buddhism. And again, the reason why I make these podcasts is that our view of Buddhism, our realization through our study and practice, allows the path to manifest before us. Because, as I've stated before, the path of Buddhism is not necessarily readily seen. That's why we have the sutras in practice, and that even the goal that we have, since we're not Buddhas, has yet to be defined or understood through practice and study. So again, these podcasts are to allow us to refocus, or how do you say, re-examine the path that we are on, because it's such, somebody had said once that the path is as narrow as a razor's edge, which means that it's so narrow that a lot of times our views, our beliefs, our ideas, our traditions, etc., sometimes blur that or mistakenly direct us off the path. So with that, I want to share something which is very interesting and may actually allow people to hopefully see the path more clearly of the Lotus Sutra and of Buddhism. And that is of the three powerful enemies of Buddhism. This is called in Japanese Sandui Unteki or Sandui Goteki. Those are two ways of stating the three powerful enemies. And it's very fascinating because, as we'll go into depth, as a Buddhist, you would think, well, because I'm doing the right thing, because I'm practicing, because I'm being mindful, because I'm being compassionate in my life, that why would anyone want to be my enemy? Why would I meet enemies? Actually, perhaps in my own naivety, when I became a Buddhist, I thought, well, this is a better way for people to like me. Or to be as I perhaps had an idealistic idea of what a nice person was. And of course, when we look at the Buddha, we look at the Buddha with adoration and awe because he is the enlightened being. But of course, we can only comprehend that through our attachments, but also through our Buddha nature, but more at the beginning, the illusions of our attachments. So these three enemies, I'm going to go through them individually. And again, I want to state that this is in the Lotus Sutra. So if you, especially, specifically chapter 13, the encouragement for keeping the sutra, if you're reading Senshu Murano's version, it is on page 206. And this is Miao Lo's definition from his annotations on the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra of what these three enemies are. So these three powerful enemies. So this is not just a concept again, as many people are probably realizing that Nichiren Shonin just decided to make up or create himself. This is something that had already been established, especially within and based on the Lotus Sutra teachings. And as Miao Lo said, the words and phrases of the Lotus Sutra. So we're in chapter 13, it defines it very directly. And then after, we'll look at the, of course, the letters of Nichiren Shonin in which they're placed. So, as we see here on page 209, there is something called the 20 lines of practice. This is Nichiren Shonin's faith and practice in encountering difficulty. And as you see, encouragement for keeping the sutra means overcoming the difficulty. So it states here, thereupon the bodhisattvas sang in Gathas with one voice. Do not worry. We will expound the sutra in the dreadful world after your extinction. This is the vow to the Buddha that the bodhisattvas are making through singing the Gatha. Firstly, it says, ignorant people will speak ill of us, abuse us, and threaten us with swords or sticks. But we will endure all of this. This is, by Miao Lo's concept, the first group of people. That is the common person, or as it says, people of worldly arrogance. This is called zokushu, zojoman. So this is, many people say, common persons that could be lay people. Especially this is within Buddhism, would be lay people that would perhaps be against or cause the destruction of Buddhism. So these ignorant people speak ill of us, abuse us, and threaten us with swords or sticks. But again, we are speaking of patience, as it says, but we will endure all of this. This is, of course, the Bodhisattva stating for the Buddha not to worry, and how they plan, and to whom they understand that we will have to be able to uphold and have patience and encouragement for keeping the sutra, what will be their understanding. And again, with the Gathas, that is how they communicated their understanding or concept with their practice to the Buddha. So again, these are people who have seen perhaps other countries, this is perhaps an army, politicians, etc., of worldly arrogance. Then it goes on to state the next paragraph. It says, some bhikshus, that's monks, or in this evil world, will be cunning. They will be ready to flatter others, thinking that they have obtained what they have not. Their minds will be filled with arrogance. So this second type of people, the second category of the three, are people of religious arrogance. They're called Domon Zojoman. And this is more in depth, as my teacher has taught me, people of both Buddhism or of other religions, but more specifically, again, as I stated in the first group of people of worldly arrogance, that they were lay people of Buddhism. The second one is the clergy of Buddhism. So this would mean that within Buddhism itself, these arrogant monks, arrogant priests will be those who are easily flattered by others, and in many cases perhaps even liked better than others, because they have perhaps shown or believed or encouraged people to follow their teachings based on what they tell them they have obtained, but what they actually have not. And that they will be cunning. And this cunningness, this character, is the idea of cunning in order to get what they want through, you know, of course, their arrogance being the center of their being. So again, this is priest within even one's own tradition that we experience the second group of powerful enemies. And the third, as we go down to the next section, it says, some bhikshus will live in aranyas, or retired places. Now this aranyas is actually a general term for a Buddhist monastery. Or retired places. That means out in the middle of nowhere, in the sacred, secret place, and wear patch pieces of clothing, thinking that they are practicing the true way, they will despise others. This is considered the worst of the three categories, because these are people of excessive arrogance. That's the title being Senshō Zōjōman. This is high up or trained people, or even as they state, saints, high priests, etc. But more in the idea of saints or arahats that have actually attained something, but yet are arrogant in the worst sense, in despising and hating others, or thinking or looking down at them. So those as practitioners, because as we see in the Lotus Sutra, we even see the bhikshus who immediately, when they want the Buddha to teach them, they immediately then say, well, we don't, you're making this up, this isn't a good teacher, and they leave, actually walk out on the Buddha's lecture. You know, this is the idea of the worst kind, that they have actually obtained something. So therefore, lay people may look at that and say, oh, they're accomplished people, and then take their word more importantly, or take it as a more important concept or idea based on perhaps abilities or powers, that they're correct. So therefore, this, of course, is a great poison to the Sangha. So these three actions are of these three types of powerful enemies that actually we meet in Buddhism. And of course, in this gatha, as they're expounding it, it goes on, of course, talking about endurance. But we will endure all of this because we respect you. And then we see on page 208 the actions of endurance, the faith of a bodhisattva, the strong vow that Nichiren Shonin says and follows as his main practice, as his main vow, and is taught in the sutra. Quote, "We will wear the armor of endurance because we respect and believe you. We will endure all of these difficulties in order to expound this sutra. We will not spare even our lives. We treasure only unsurpassed enlightenment." We will not spare even our lives is, of course, the concept of the strongest type of faith. This is Fu Shaku Shin Myo, the non-sparing of body life. Of course, the most important and treasured things to all beings. So therefore, we can see within this what we are to come across, what we are to experience in our practice. But, you know, if you have a concept and most people want to be liked, most people want to be respected, most people want to be considered a good person within social constructs. But this, again, is something that's being deconstructed through the Dharma, which is fascinating to me because I believe this is one of the instinctual or traditional elements of perhaps even, you know, more especially I can speak of my culture, in which you're raised to be a good little boy or a good little girl in the sense of approval by others. And that through that, of course, we become arrogant. We become concerned only with our image, concerned with our ego. Of course, that's why it says, as it gives up the idea of not sparing even our lives, that's the body and mind, that this is part. We want people to like this body. We want people to approve of our lives. And that's where we get trapped in that. So this actual teaching, you know, may absolutely, again, butt up against that belief, that concept, which, of course, for people, I would imagine, would be extremely unsettling, because religion for the most part is a way that people can be able to say I'm a good person, or that I am not an arrogant person, or that I am a humble person, etc., by establishing or saying what one believes in. But as we see in Buddhism, the way of the Bodhisattva through action is quite different. And actually, the basis of the Bodhisattva, as we see, of never despising, is that of patience, of an endurance. So haven't you ever wondered, if we are practicing the true way, why would we come against adversaries? Why would there be powerful enemies? And especially, and I've experienced this many times in my life, the one thing that sometimes as a human brings up a little bit of that tinge of why or how come this is not fair, is that even amongst one's peers, amongst one's own tradition, one's own sect, that these three powerful enemies are found. We sometimes think that by belonging to a group or something that we're protecting ourselves. Again, another perhaps instinctual action based on being protected by the group. But then when we're betrayed, again, the feelings of betrayal and that are extremely powerful within our own group of people who believe, or maybe that we believe, that they accept or follow the same way that we do, the way, the same michi, the same path that we do, but only to find out that they are not. And so perhaps we may even wonder if we're doing it the correct way. Are we on the correct path of the Buddha? And this is why the essentials of what Nichiren Shonin said in Shoho Jiso, Shoho, learning and practicing, is important, because if if you didn't learn and you were just practicing and you came against this, your instinct probably would be, I'm doing the wrong thing because people, you know, disagree with me and they're good Buddhists, right? Or even saints. The saints look at me and tell me I'm a fool. And actually, when I first became a Nichiren Buddhist, I brought this sutra, this exact sutra, to the monastery. And those monks basically said, as is in page 207, they made that sutra by themselves. This is a teaching of heretics. They're doing this in order to deceive the world. And these were extremely well accomplished monks, both in meditation and teachings, etc. So I was really, really shocked that they became so irate and angry based on the sutra. And yet people gave them ultimate respect because they seemed as if they were saints. They seem as if they were humble because, as it says with the idea of wearing patch pieces of cloth, they look like they had renounced the world, even to the point, as we see in Chinese Buddhism, burning their head with the precepts. But again, this kind of, in a way, well, luckily, there must have been, as we see, some karma with the Lotus Sutra that I didn't feel disparaged. I just had another, it kind of shocked me or kind of made me question. So therefore, I immediately didn't react because, again, I wasn't pulled in by these ideals. I was looking to understand the true path of the Buddha. So what is the purpose of this? I mean, if we're bringing goodness, if we're bringing truth into the world, why are we having adversaries, especially amongst our own Sangha? And it's very interesting because I've experienced this many times in my life. Of course, not to the extent of Nichiren Shonin. And again, when we look in comparison, we should see that Nichiren Shonin's vow and practice was so strong because having a whole country hating you as opposed to a few people trying to be subversive or difficult or troublesome for you is nothing in comparison to that. However, as an individual, as a practitioner, it still is troublesome, as if it was a million people having one person intentionally looking to remove you or destroy you in your practice and turning people against you, etc. But what does this allow us to do? Why is this teaching here? It's important that we share this, and that's why I bring this up. It provides us contrast. So going back to the original part of this conversation, do you remember when I said it's very difficult to practice Buddhism because most religions, the path is shown very clearly through rules, mandates, etc. I wouldn't say they're really clearly. However, people say that they're clearly mandated. For instance, rules, yes or no. But in Buddhism, because we go by the concept of essence, and it's something that we have to realize within ourselves, we're not able to automatically explain what is the path of Buddhism, though we walk on it with our teachers and with the Buddha. And then also, what is enlightenment? So what does that mean to be enlightened? Some easy or cheesy concept or simplified or, even imaginary concept that we may create, we don't know. And if you look at if we're going to enter into something and we can say, I don't know, that perhaps is the most difficult of all. So therefore, this provides for us contrast to the truth. So therefore, we are able to see in the actions of these three powerful enemies, we can be able to see the path of Buddhism emerging, because within that, instead of being retaliatory or angry, etc., we go back to our way of bodhisattva practice, and we endure and become patient with this, and we understand that this is a part of our practice. So then, therefore, the path of the Buddha is clearly revealed. And again, the path, as I said many times, is something that we are defining at every moment of our life. Every step is defining the path that we're on. And that it is essential to receive the essence of the practice of Buddhism. So, as Devadatta chapter in the Lotus Sutra, Devadatta was the great benefit or benefactor to the Buddha because he was able to show that the Buddha was the true practitioner, was enlightened, because this provided a great contrast even for us today of what the practice or the essence is. Of course, we see this again in with Nishin Shonin, who is our ancestor of Enkyoji. And before I go into that, I just want to say there, the two aspects of Nichiren Shonin's writings are where this is found, is the Shimoyama Gosho, and especially in the Kaimoku Sho. So in the Kaimoku Sho, Nichiren Shonin specifically shows us and tells us about how these enemies are manifested, how they are seen. And again, it of course directs us to understand that this is the way that, because we see the three powerful enemies, because we experience them, that we are able to see that. And Nichiren Shonin professes that he is the votary, the essence, the pillar of the Lotus Sutra, of the true practitioner of the Lotus Sutra, because, as is stated in the sutra, he was attacked and slandered by both lay people, by priests and high priests, sages, etc. As we can see, as he was sent into exile twice, and then also all of this was prophesied by the teachings. In his teaching of the Kaimoku Sho, opening the eyes, he says, "As such a time, if there are three powerful enemies predicted in the Lotus Sutra, if they didn't appear, then who would believe in the words of the Buddha? And if it were not for, of course, Nichiren Shonin, who would fulfill the prophecies of the Buddha concerning the votary of the Lotus Sutra?" So, therefore, Nichiren Shonin was able to see within context that for his life, and of course we as Nichiren Buddhists, this provided the contrast to understanding what the path is, and that if we are on the path or we are not. And our ancestor Nishin Shonin, of course, is a perfect example, because Nishin Shonin, at that time, Nichiren Shonin's time, there was not necessarily, of course, some of his disciples did betray him and give up the practice, but Nishin Shonin, being after Nichiren Shonin and being an exemplar of Nichiren Buddhism, he experienced the idea of this attack, this prediction, in that the people who persecuted him were that of his own tradition, of the Nichiren Shu practice. At that time, there was not Nichiren Shu, but Hokeshu, the Lotus Sutra sect. They did not like his practice, or that he was seen as the second coming of Nichiren Shonin in many ways, and also, of course, wrote a comparable document to the Risho Ankokuron about establishing the true teaching, to find and establish the true practice, therefore protecting the nation. And so, if you get a chance, please learn a little more about Nishin Shonin. And I hope all of you are able to see this and put this within your practice of learning and practicing, and being able to help use that to define what is the path of the Buddha. That is essential. So I thank all of you for your time today. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you very much.